Good day, everybody. Welcome back to episode 5 of Wildly Inspired. Today's topic is a very enlightening one, in my opinion, and one that we're excited to talk about. The power of positive thought, something that I believe everybody can use, myself included and Steve. Mm-hmm. And it's something that, well, you should carry throughout the rest of your life and onto other people. As you influence others and impact others throughout your life and encounter more people, it's an extremely important, you know, aspect of your life. So we're going to get right into it. And why it's important is because the way you think affects your life, and your thoughts are intimately connected to your future. And your thoughts in many ways create your reality. And, you know, you can segment and segue off of that in so many different ways. But it's ultimately a choice, right? It's always a choice. And if you were given in one hand positivity and in one hand the, you know, negativity, which is the opposite, I mean, you would probably choose positivity every single time. However, there are many people out there that constantly live in a cloud of negativity, and it you know, you can get into it in terms of it really is accumulated from their past, and we'll go down that road a little bit later. But it's not something that you want to really convince yourself over time that you want to carry, right? I mean, who wants to live with negativity, right, Steve?
Well, I think it's not so much about necessarily living with it and different things like that. It's just negativity, negative thoughts and all that kind of stuff that goes along with that. It's easier. You know, I think negativity is something, and just being negative in general is something that I've certainly battled with at times in my life. You know, definitely a place that I've learned and tried to grow and understand and be better at, you know, especially even from, you know, an anger standpoint and different things like that. But I think it's so much easier to be complaining and negative. I think it takes a lot less energy to be negative, if you want to look at it that way. I think it takes a lot less effort in a sense of, you know, blaming others or, you know, being negative about whatever current situation you're in, than it is to really have the energy to be positive. You know, because I think it takes a lot more actual thought and energy to want to be positive than it does to be negative. Because I think more people would probably agree that, you know, it's easier to think of something that's not working, or something that you can complain about, or the boss, or the media, or anything that's out there. It's just so much easier to look at those things than it is to really look at the positive side of things. I think negativity is just something that's bred so much easier into people's minds. And that's why I think people probably don't even realize how much they're being negative when they're actually being negative. And I think the definition of negativity is sometimes things that get lost with people, is that they think, oh, I'm a super positive person. Well, you know, let's start breaking that down a little bit, right? Like, I think a lot of times people think that they're positive.
Yeah. Well, I've been in situations like that where people with that exact conversation has happened. And you point out, well, hey, man, you're just the last 10 minutes you were complaining. And then they try to give their rebuttals and they go on the defensive. And it's like, no, I wasn't. Right? No, I wasn't. And that's, they just don't accept it. They don't acknowledge it. They don't realize it. And yeah, you're totally right on that.
Yeah.
I've had a few conversations. And I was probably even, you know, back in the day, I'm sure I could have been one of those individuals that was on the other side, that now I was the negative one, right? I mean, I don't have any moment or memory, you know, per se, that pops out, but yeah, no, you're totally right. Most people don't realize that, you know, they're being negative. Mm-hmm. I mean, at most workplaces every workplace I've had, there's several individuals like that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it is easy. Unfortunately, it is easy, but do we convince ourselves that it's easy, or does it feel easy?
Well, hey, let me interrupt you for a second.
Sure.
Now that I'm thinking about, that's a really good point about, you know, lots of people that you work with are negative, but here's the thing that really, especially from being in business, that we've learned that really kind of, it just dawned on me that we didn't even think about when we were creating this podcast episode is, what do you hear most from an employer? Do you hear more negative or do you hear more positive? Right? So again, where we look at, it's so much easier to be negative. It's because we're bred with so much negativity, because most employer or employees, sorry, or most people that, you know, work anywhere for the most part would agree that you can do 50, 100 things right and rarely ever get any kind of pat on the back recognition or thrown anything positive your way. You know, the positivity is in the form of a piece of paper that maybe is, hey, you got a raise or whatever, right? But they'll damn well tell you when you've done something wrong. And I think even parenting is a lot of ways like that too. And I think that's where negativity just gets bred into people so much, is that even as parents, and, you know, we're all trying to be great parents and we all try to do what's best for our kids. But I think a lot of times that we forget to praise them and reward them. You know, there's a saying, I think, and we read this somewhere and I can't remember what it is, but a kid will typically hear in their lifetime, and we'd have to look up the stat, and I encourage anybody to actually look it up, but you'll hear no like 100 times more than you'll hear yes.
Yeah, I think it's something, and you're right, we'll have to look it up, but I believe it's something like 40,000 times they'll hear the word no by the time they're, I think, 10. It's something like that. But anyways, whatever the number is, it's significant.
Well, and you think, yeah, well, sorry to interrupt, but you think about it, it's just, as a parent, you know, being one, it's like your kid, it's, you know, from a very young age, it's like, don't do that. Don't do this. No, no, don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. No, no, no. Right. And then they get older. Can I do this? Can I do that? No, 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 no.
What do you, right? Okay. So I'll stop and interrupt you then.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
What do you think is the result of that?
Well, I think it's just because.
Is it rebellion? Do you think they just rebel?
Well, I think it's just because as kids, right? Like when you're a young kid, you're exploring so many different things and you're learning things as you go. So you have to, not have to, but in a way you almost have to tell your kid no a lot of times, because it's like, you know, they're crawling around and they're grabbing at everything and they're pulling things down and whatever. So it's like, no, don't do that. No, don't do this. No, don't do that. No, don't do this. No. And you are just parenting them. And you aren't doing anything wrong necessarily as a parent in that way. And then your kid pops a smile and they get praise and little things like that. But so there is a balance that always needs to be in place there. But it certainly is just, I think, because when a kid's learning and experience, and then as they get older, they're trying to figure out what their boundaries are, how far they can push mom and dad, you know, and as a parent, I bet you, I mean, realistically, we spend a lot of our times, you know, saying no or don't do that, probably more times than in a lot of situations, not all parents, where we say, yes, great job, you know, I love you, you know, here's a hug, you know, and I, especially when you go back into further generations, like even for me, like I think, how often did my dad give me a hug? You know, they grew up in that generation where that was not really something, you know, so even from my male role model in my life, I probably heard no, don't, or things like that more than I ever heard, I'm proud of you, I love you, here's a hug, you know, so there's just definitely, depending on what era you grew up in, there's a different balance. And I think everybody's just trying to be a good parent, but ultimately that's just the reality, is that you have to turn down your kid more than you tell them that you love them and maybe tell them that they're doing a great job and stuff like that. So you get bred almost with that.
Yeah, you get programmed and conditioned that way. That's definitely a conditioning throughout your life, unfortunately. And it is sad once you look at that and you can't turn back the clock and, oh, I wish I coulda, shoulda, woulda told my kid yes more. That's not the point of it. But yeah, a lot of obviously negativity does stem from saying no a lot. What's the stat, brother?
What okay, so I just looked it up. I just had to look it up. So it
was
says,
that close?
Well, no. Well, it's here. I'll just read the thing. Freaking guy. It says the average toddler hears the word no an astonishing 400 times a day, according to experts.
What? Who's saying no 400 times?
I don't know. That's according to studies and just in general. Okay.
What's a toddler these days, right? Like, is that one or two? Like, what do you?
I don't
toddler,
know.
I guess toddlers above You're not so much considered a baby anymore, but whatever. Anyways,
let's not get too off topic here now.
Yeah, we're getting negative here. the power of positive thought. Obviously, like I said, we can use that. Everybody, even if they're super positive and optimistic, you know, on any given day, they can always, more positivity is better. However, we're not going to go down this road necessarily either, but it's not always great to be positive all the time. Because you do need to experience negativity. You do need to experience the other side of it all for various reasons. But here's something super, super powerful. And I heard this a couple of years ago and it blew my mind. And then I went down the whole of the research of it and read a bunch about it. And it's, each individual approximately has 60 to 70,000 thoughts per day. 60 to 70,000 thoughts per day, and over 90% of them are repeated thoughts, and 80% are negative, right? How profound is that? 60 to 70,000 thoughts per day, 90% of them are repeated, and 80% are negative.
So that's like, you got 60,000 thoughts, that's like quick, you know, roughly 50,000 of them are negative.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's mind-blowing, right? So once you acknowledge that, once you learn that stat of, you know, the human conditioning, the human person, and the average individual, I mean, it's okay, it's great to know that, but now what do you do about it, right? Mm-hmm. That's the whole power of it, because having 90% of your thoughts be repeated from what you did yesterday and how you felt yesterday.
Well, and your life in general.
And life in general. I mean, it's
people run the same cycles and then wonder why their life.
And then expect different results. Imagine that, eh?
Yeah.
So, because here's the thing, everyone, your thoughts dictate how you feel. The way you feel dictates your behavior, and your behavior dictates your actions. Therefore, your actions dictate your results, whether positive or negative. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's like I said, it's always a choice every day before you go to bed, when you wake up, and throughout the day, whatever circumstances, workplace situations, driving in your vehicle, talking to this person, that person, whatever it is.
Well, the driving in your vehicle is a really good point too, right? They bring that up and just the very fact that people will drive to work and have road rage, right? And you go into work already negatively charged.
Already riled up, yeah.
Or even the fact that some people don't leave themselves enough time in the morning to even make it to work.
Mm. And, right? And then what? Blame everything.
You're rushing, you're blaming the lights, you're, this person cut me off, this happened, you're flipping this person off, and you start your work day negatively charged and then wonder why you had a shitty work day. Well, you came into work charged, you know, terribly, in a sense. You already came in with a negative mindset.
So you're setting the tone, right?
You're setting the tone for your whole day, for your whole work day. And maybe that doesn't happen for everybody that they had a crap day, but sometimes you can always relate it back to that one negative charge that you had in the day, that negative thought that kind of dictated the course of your entire day.
Totally.
It could have been that one. It could have been waking up late, or that interaction with your spouse or with your kid or the dog, or you know, the person that cut you off in the morning, whatever it is. And then that subconscious programming that is the 80% of your negative that people kind of don't realize is really happening gets set off again. And then you go back into that cycle of yours that runs on repeat. And that's the main thing, I think, with that 80% of thought. And to touch on that, I think we should just... I mean, it's Joe Dispenza, for everybody that doesn't know, which is a guy.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to touch on that.
We kind of want to touch on that. But one thing that he says that's very impactful, that really hit home for me when it came to trying to keep track of you know, that 80%, is you got to think about what you're actually thinking about. You know, so when you have a negative situation or something, a negative emotion, let's say, what is it that you're actually thinking about in that moment, and take the blame away from everybody else? You know, understand why you're actually feeling that emotion or that feeling. You know, it's not because that person cut you off in the morning. You know, now you're just projecting the blame onto somebody else. That's not the reason truly why you're angry in that moment or upset or mad or negative in that moment. There's something deeper down than that. It's not that situation that's caught. Because if you're negative because somebody cut you, you're going to let somebody that cut you off in the morning ruin your whole day.
Out of almost 8 billion people.
You're reliving or you're staying caught in the moment, one single moment in the morning, let's say. You're going to stay in that negatively charged state of mind the entire day. So you're actually living out that emotion for a very long extended period of time. That emotion could have been, I mean, you can still get mad. Don't get me wrong. You can get mad at the person that cuts you off, but it's like, it's over. It's done. You move on.
Move on.
Yeah. You got a couple seconds to just let that shit go. And then if you carry that with you, now you're letting that charge and that emotion and that feeling be drawn out, right? Joe talks about it a little bit, and anybody who wants to learn some stuff about this, like Joe Dispenza, is amazing. And, you know, shout out to him, you know, give him some props. He's very amazing at this, but
yeah, he's devoted most of his life to, you know,
to all of this,
the mental capacity of the human body and everything that goes in that. So he's a remarkable guy. Yeah. Definitely give him a follow and your, you know,
I mean, podcast or YouTube or get a book from him or whatever. Yeah. We'll really highlight some of that.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you were going to say anything else about Joe.
Oh, there. I got lots to say.
Oh, about Joe. We said you're going to bring him up, and then I spilled the beans on Mr. Dispenza here. But
get him as a guest speaker one day.
Wouldn't that be nuts?
That would be unreal. That would be unreal.
That's when you know you make it.
Yeah. And just to piggyback off what you said, man. Yeah. I mean, most people play the same song and dance and then eventually stop dancing. But the song keeps playing, and then they're dying before they're dead. Right? You just the same song and dance, and that song is just a negative song, that negative frequency, that negative wavelength in their mind. And like you said, projects out into the universe, into their life, into their home, into their workplace. And yeah, it doesn't have to be, you know, you're the road rage. It can be anything, any altercation, any situation, any, you know, environment. And conversation with someone or even yourself. And we'll dive into that too a little bit, but yeah, it's just, why choose negativity? Right. I mean, I'm not saying on this podcast that, you know, or on this episode that you and I are the most positive people in the world.
Oh, I'm not even close. No. I have a lot of work to do at times.
Crack me up. But hey, that's great though, brother. Cause you acknowledge that now you can.
Well, self-awareness is the number one tool that all people have. Right.
And I know I've always chosen. I've always, you know, majority of my life, I've been positive. I've chose optimism. And if I talk to my family, if I talk to some close friends, if I talk to you, you know, and someone grabbed you guys, all the people I listed behind closed doors type of thing, behind scenes, and ask them about me. I mean, hey, what's Taylor like? You know, how's it to be around Taylor? How's he as a friend? Like, it would be, you know, some positivity. I know that. I'm not rubbing my noggin here, my ego. It's just, I know that. And that's special to me. That means a lot because, wow, one life and you chose negativity for most of it.
I mean,
That's a sad life. It really is, right? It really is. So, I would
my 20s are pretty sad. If you like,
really? Are you saying you're out of your 20s now, Steve?
I told them on the last podcast I was 34. Nah, last episode.
Crazy. Growing old in the 30s. So there's so many avenues, like we said, we can break down. But was there anything else you wanted to piggyback off of Joe?
No, Joe? I mean, I think, yeah. No, okay. I don't have anything. Just a shout out to him really is all we wanted to do there, because I don't want to be using anybody's material without giving them some props.
Yeah,
because I wouldn't have came across any of that stuff if it wasn't for somebody like Joe Dispenza for sure.
Yeah. And I honestly, we just said this before the podcast too, or the episode started, that we need to dive into more Joe and have more Dispenza in our life for sure.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And with negativity, I mean, we all worry a lot. Most people worry a lot, and we're not going to get too scientific with it and psychological because, well, that's not who we are. Very fascinated with it, but with negativity comes worry, right? So much worry. And sometimes it even starts with the moment you wake up, unfortunately. And approximately 80% of your worry that we carry never actually happens.
No.
Right? How like amazing is that? And
well, you experience something that might never happen, but then if you do actually experience it, you experience it twice.
Right.
So why wouldn't you just want to experience it one time? Like, don't live in the worry and the fear of the unknown or the uncertainty or what could happen, because then you're actually like living that negative emotion before it even happens. And what did you say it was, the percentage?
Approximately 80%.
So 80% of the time it doesn't even happen. So the 20% it does happen, now you're having to like experience it twice rather than just once.
Yeah.
And sometimes the once, like when it actually happens, is a lot less, like it's not as bad as you thought. So everything you're doing worrying before is actually more intense of a negative emotion than you actually, like that you actually feel before it even happens. Then when it happens, you're like, oh, that wasn't so bad.
Hey, that's exactly what I wanted to finish
that, off that wasn't
on that.
So, yeah. That wasn't so bad.
It wasn't even, it's almost never, and I don't have no statistic, but because I mean, I don't know how you would.
But I think anybody can relate to what you're going to say here.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, and I mean, we all worry. It's just, it's part of the human emotion. It's part of the human body, the human conditioning, all that stuff. It's literally, you can't completely disregard it or eliminate it in your life. But wow,
no, you ever, can't.
You can significantly minimize it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
here, I'll throw something your way too. When I was thinking about this episode, if you were to write down all the thoughts in your mind, you can write a book, right?
Oh, yeah.
So let's just, if you were to write down all the thoughts in your mind in a given day, right? Let's just say it was a book, you made a book.
Yeah.
Would it be a book you would want someone else to read?
That's a good question.
That's a good one. And I even asked myself that. And I'm
that's
like,
a good question.
There'd be a lot of weird, twisted, dark, you know, funny, wow,
yeah,
I probably don't want to read this part type of books. But, you know, that's like, just ask yourself out there. I mean, that concept, would it be a book that you would want someone else to read, that you would want to share, that you would publish?
Yeah. Right, right? I mean, there's a lot of thoughts that I think. I don't know why I'm thinking about this now, but I think if you ask yourself if your mind is a scary place to be, you know, when you're alone by yourself and you're thinking, you're all alone, do you find that your mind is a nice place to be in and lost in? And if it's good, then it probably tells you you're probably pretty positive. You got a lot of pretty positive emotions. You got a lot of, you know, you got a lot of good things going on. But if you're alone and you're lost in your thought, and if things like anxiety, depression, fear, doubt, all that stuff, they're all negative emotions. So that tells you got some work to do. And, you know, I don't think we're going to give some tangibles, but we can't get into the deep tangibles like maybe a...
like a Joe Dispenza.
Well, or like a counselor can give somebody who's really going through some really, really negative or dark times. But, you know, this is for kind of like the average person is, if you're just... You know, and the thing is that people are so distracted now that you never give a lot of validation, or you never really think about those thoughts or why they're there, right? You know, when you wake up, you know, they say that most people wake up, they grab their phones right away. So you're distracted by your phone, you're on your Facebook, you're on your Instagram, you're emailing, whatever. You get ready for work, you go to work, you get home, then it's the regular routine, and then you're involved in the Netflix, and then you're drinking or you're blazing or whatever you're into, and then you go back to bed. But you never actually like really thought about some of the thoughts that you had throughout the day and really, really got to know yourself better. I think that's really what it comes down to sometimes, is getting to know you as an individual better, you know, and then you can understand some of the things that maybe the patterns or some of the things that happen in your life and why they happen in your life, and maybe some of the things that you want to change, because anytime you want to change anything, it has to come from you. It has to come from a place that where you understand why certain things are happening. Take your responsibility of it and be like, you know, why did I react this way? Or why did I think this thought? Or where did this thought even come from? Or why do I think this way often? You know, like if it's a common or constant reoccurring thought that you have in your mind that's a negative one, rather than blaming somebody else for it, and that could be anything, that could be the person at work, that could be somebody you work with, you know, or you love, that could be your kids, whatever it is, take it, peel it back a little bit and bring it back to you and be like, why do I actually feel this way? What is it? You know, am I just, do I feel like I'm just not being respected here? Do I feel like I just want some attention? Do I feel like I just want some, you know, some gratitude, you know, or do I, what do you need? Like, it all comes back to a need that's not being met. And that's really what anger and negative emotions and things like that truly are, because it's a protection mechanism.
Oh yes, it is.
Right.
Yeah. Good call.
So
yeah, good point.
It goes back to that reptile brain or that archaic brain, yes, or whatever, anybody who's heard that concept. But our mind was created in an era of time, or I don't know if that's the right wording for it, but we used to have to like protect ourselves from freaking saber-toothed tigers and shit.
It was all survival.
It was all survival mode.
What your brain is, that's pure purpose is for, is just survival. To allow you to survive and to tell you different survival tactics. And
exactly.
That's it. It's just to keep you alive is all your brain is really for.
And most of the negative, most of the negative thought process to me, are a lot of them are from a survival standpoint or a survival mechanism. When you look at things like anxiety and fear and anger and a lot of those different emotions like that, that's a survival emotion primarily, you know, that it activates your fight or flight response. And so you're either fighting with your kid or you're walking away from the conversation, let's say. But it really had nothing to do with, there's something deeper there, right? Like, you know, because you can always react in a positive way, but still get the same result you're trying to get from the other individual. Like a lot of people are like, well, if I just yell, I'm going to get what I want.
I'm going to get my voice heard. I'm going to get my opinion
heard. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe you just need to be heard more. Maybe your need is just to feel like you're important in the household.
Right. And that's power in itself. What you said, that word react. Is you don't necessarily want to react, you want to respond. There's a huge difference there.
Yeah.
Right? In those circumstances.
That's a good, that's well placed.
It's well placed. it's totally true, right?
Yeah.
Most of us, it's like, and it goes back to reacting, goes back to that person cutting you off. Well, yeah, you reacted by freaking out and yelling and maybe driving up next to him and giving the old, you know, the old bird there.
Yeah.
The old middle flipping finger there. And
you bastard.
Yeah, because that makes you feel super powerful and macho and cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, how did you respond? Okay, that was also a response, but, you know, there's a lot more power in not just reacting, which, you know, elevates to overreacting sometimes. So anyways, we can go down that too. That's not what I really want to do, but you said some things about, I don't know exactly, to be honest right now, but
you overloaded me,
yeah, overstimulated. But no, just, I guess, anger and negativity. And yeah, you've experienced a lot of anger in your life, you said too, but you've learned a lot on that and you've worked on that management.
You have no idea.
And cultivated a, you know, it's still not where you want to be, like you said, and we've talked about off record type of thing, you know, behind different doors, but
yeah,
it's something that you're working on. What I want to say about that is a lot of that is associated, and this is general, this is not directed to anyone, but for those listening, this comes, you know, those negative emotions and the anger and all that stuff and, you know, the insecurities and so on and so forth comes from the foundational years of your life, that your childhood, right? People usually associate that to trauma.
Yeah.
And you most of the time you're just unaware. You don't think so. It lives in you every day and you're thinking and walking and talking, you know, a certain way.
Yeah.
And you're kind of trying to condition and convince yourself otherwise that it doesn't. However, it does.
Right.
Right. So this is about positive thought, not necessarily about all these negative experiences in your childhood.
Mm-hmm.
We can't change that, but we can change it going forward.
Yes, absolutely.
So super powerful. So, right, because our mind can be our biggest challenge and obstacle, yet if we manage it skillfully, it can be our biggest ally, helping us to reach new heights of personal development and overall performance. So I'll bring you ready for me to bring you another stat here, brother? Another wowza?
I love the stats. Stats are facts, man. I'm a facts guy.
Stats are facts. So a recent study that came out in 2017 from Oxford Academic followed 70,000 women from 2004 to 2012.
That's a lot of women.
It's a lot of women and it's a lot of years. From 2004 to 2012, and found that those who were optimistic had a significantly lower risk of dying from several major causes of death, including heart disease, stroke, cancer, including breast, ovarian, you know, lung cancers, and a few others there.
And I mean, breast cancer is obviously huge.
It is huge, unfortunately. And my beautiful girlfriend, her friends are experiencing that with their moms right now. But
oh, that sucks.
Yeah, super sad. So anyways, that infection, respiratory diseases and stuff like that. And I mean, it's just the power of choosing and being optimistic, choosing positivity. And, you know, sometimes when I say it, it sounds cheesy, but it's just so true, right? Because when you talk to people about positivity and being optimistic and, hey, man, you just need to be more positive, more positive. Can't even talk.
Holy mackerel.
More positive. I mean, they kind of look at you like you're just some goof. It's kind of weird and it's not comfortable. But like what, being negative is comfortable, right?
Right. Just,
yeah, it's crazy. It's pretty crazy. So what else? What else do we want to touch on? What else?
Well,
do
no,
we
I mean, yeah, that's give, a good point.
Give the people.
Well, we want to
audience.
I mean, there's a couple things that, especially when. So one thing that's really helped me since I discovered this type of thing, I think that, and we'll just lay in some maybe tangibles or some things that we can give people.
We will.
To help and just a little bit here and there, and we'll probably ramble a little bit more. But you know,
us one ramble?
Yeah.
Ramble.
Right.
Not
at all. Not at all. But one thing that I think is powerful, and it really helps a person really think about what they're thinking about. If we go back to that statement, but they're, I was listening to Uncle G at one point, Grant Cardone, another shout out to another stud out there. And he has a challenge where he challenges people to see how long you can go without a negative thought. And he wants you to go full 24 hours. That's the challenge, is 24 hour challenge to go without one negative thought and just actually think about when you're being negative and see how long you can make it. And he's like, you're surprised. Some people can't even make it 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Like actually just really think about your thoughts and see if you can make it a full 24 hours. And if you can start consistently doing that, you start reconditioning that programming that you have. So maybe that's not 80% in your system anymore that's running negative. Maybe you can start getting on the better side of that equation. But I know that when I try to do that, it's amazing how hard it is to go 24 hours and be positive the whole time.
Well, I thought the 75 hard program was hard, but not having a negative thought in 24 hours as opposed to 75 days challenge, I mean, that seems even way more challenging.
But when you think about it, right, that we just said that 80% of your thoughts are negative throughout the day. You have 60,000 thoughts. So statistically speaking, there's almost nobody that makes it 24 hours in a day.
No.
So if you can start and just almost improve upon and actually be really critical of yourself of when you actually have a negative thought. Like,
oh, yeah, because you're the only one that knows it.
Yeah, you are.
And I mean, you're going to know right away and judging people and, you know, just saying
silliest
things we say. Yeah,
it could be simply as just seeing somebody and thinking something negative about them, judging them as soon as you see them, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's a huge challenge, but it's also a great challenge. But then the key to that and to piggyback onto that challenge is, I know everybody's got their cell phones on them and stuff, but write down, like make a note or write down what that thought was. And you don't have to dissect it every time, but maybe for a week or 2 weeks or a month or whatever distance you want to make, you know, the challenge is really just the 24 hours, but see how long you can go throughout the day and keep documenting the negative thought that you have. And then look back on that. Maybe let that go a couple of days. Don't even look at your notes, but just put it in the notes in your cell phone, or if you got a notepad, write it down. And then you go back and look at that and you can start seeing what the pattern is of the negative, like what you're seeing the most. And then again, you always need to take other people out of the equation. It has nothing to do with anybody else. What is your thought? Don't blame another single person for that thought, but why are you experiencing that actual thought? What keeps coming up? What do you keep experiencing? What's the actual negative thought that it is? Because it's probably out of those, I mean, there's probably no real stat for this, but out of those 60,000 thoughts and 80% of them being negative, that it's probably a lot of the same reoccurring negative thought out of those thoughts. You know, maybe you have 50,000 thoughts, but 10,000 of them are the same negative thought, but it just cycles every 10, 20 minutes in your day. right? Like, we don't know. But if you document that, then you get a little bit of an idea. And then you're like, man, I always feel like nobody respects me, or that I'm not being heard, or my feelings are always getting hurt in this situation. And you can start really digging deeper into what your need is as an individual and why you're experiencing, because negative thoughts are just a defense mechanism. So there's something deeper there. There's something that, some need that's not being met for you.
Yes. So you need to discover that.
Or something that you haven't dealt with from 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
And unfortunately, which is very common.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so that's a huge tangible or for me that, I mean, it's crazy how hard it is to make it 24 hours.
It would yeah, be.
You're just like, man, that was a long time. You look 17 minutes.
Woo. Okay.
Really, really.
Restart the clock.
Yeah. Restart.
No, that's great value, man. I appreciate you giving that to the people there, to the audience.
The people. Our people.
You're our type of people who are listening.
Yeah, anybody listening there.
We appreciate you, by the way. We really do.
Yeah.
We're loving it every day.
Yeah, we're loving it.
We see the connections and the positive feedback and the numbers climb.
Maybe we'll have to have an episode that just says, we love our fans. We love our fans episode. That'd be hilarious.
4 seconds.
We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So no, that's great value to provide for someone. And that's a great challenge. I mean, I'm probably going to do that here in the next couple of days.
Well, I challenge you to challenge you. You're a co-host. You got to give her a shot.
That's right. Only talking about positivity here. So,
yeah.
So I'll give, should we just lay out the closing end here and give some,
well, we got some, here? Yeah. I mean, we still have a few good points to make here.
Do you want to shoot it first?
Do
you want me to go?
Well, no, one thing we were going to talk about, as well, is gratitude, right?
Yes.
It's impossible to live in a state of gratitude and be unhappy at the same time.
Truth.
So one of the best practices, and when you get involved with trying to maybe be a little bit more positive or be in control of those negative thoughts, is every morning, if you start off with gratitude, it can actually set out the entire course of your day. And the reason why they do it in the morning, to piggyback a little bit, is most of those thoughts are subconscious program thoughts. So when you're actually sleeping, what's it in complete control at that point when you're asleep at night? Your subconscious mind. Your conscious mind is done at nighttime, right? So when you first wake up in the morning, it's your subconscious program that's like in charge, fully in charge when you first wake up. So the best way to recondition those 80% of thoughts, because that's a subconscious program that runs it, is to start off the day in a place of gratitude. And it can be simply 5 things that you repeat every day, or maybe you add in new things. There's gratitude journals out there. I know you're doing a lot of the gratitude stuff, Taylor. You've kind of dove into that a little bit. I have a gratitude journal myself and things like that. Something I need to work on a little bit more and start my day off like that. But it could be something as simple. You wake up in the morning, you're like, I love that I'm I'm so grateful that I'm healthy. I'm so grateful that I have this job. I'm so grateful that I live in a world with lots of abundance. I'm so grateful that I have a home to live in, and I have a great bed to sleep in every night. I'm so grateful for my kids. I'm so grateful for my dog. I'm so grateful, whatever it is, you know, and just start off every morning with that. And you'll just see how that can lay out the course of your day, because you started from a place of happiness, because you can't be grateful and unhappy at the same time.
That's right. No, and that's a great fact. And it is. I've heard it many times, different people that are indirect mentors in my life, or that I've researched and followed, whatever, and learned and adopted some of their research and material. And no, that's great, man. Another great point. Just gold here for the people. Gold. So, and then you can revisit that gratitude. Right. Do it in the morning. Yeah. Set the tone for the day. That's a great practice. And
it takes like 5 minutes, right?
Well, yeah, man, 3, 5 minutes, 8 minutes, whatever it takes you, but list 3 to 5 things. You don't need to spend a lot of time on it. You shouldn't have to spend a lot of time on it, but just, three things a day.
Yeah.
And then you come back home, revisit that journal or that notepad,
mm-hmm.
right? However you close out your day, and just put it somewhere close that you know you're going to do it, and it becomes a habit and all that. So, I'll do kind of my 5 points here of ways to improve your thoughts, which will ultimately improve your life. And then you can close out on yours if you'd like, man. So number one, it sounds pretty simple, but number one here, there's 5 points, and then a little bonus one.
Bonus.
We got bonuses.
Stop it, Taylor.
Giving people money
here. Oh, buddy.
Focus on the positive things, right? Focus on the good things in your life, right? Like I said before, easy to do, easy not to do. But it's a very simple practice. Focus on the positive things in your life, because there's always positivity in each of our life. And it does stem from gratitude, as Steve mentioned. And like I said, I'll touch on that a little and explore that a little bit more here. And number two, start your day on a positive note. Tell yourself that it is going to be a great day, or any other positive affirmation, as you stated, right? Mm-hmm. Listen to a happy and positive song or playlist.
Yeah, right? Like your fave song, yeah.
Totally. I mean, put the phone down first and foremost. Don't go to your phone, get the alarm off, and then don't visit it I would say at least 15, 20, 30 minutes. It's a huge thing. And I try to do that too, right? Because what do most of us do? We go to the bathroom or something.
And you're on the phone.
And then you're on the phone. Mm-hmm. And I always do that. I never actually go to the bathroom without my phone. 100%.
Most people probably don't.
Yeah, there's a fun fact. But and then share some positivity by giving a compliment or doing something nice for someone. You know, I know for me what works to start the tone for the day, for the most part. Unfortunately, not as of late because of, you know, the world.
You didn't compliment me today.
Oh, I thought I did.
I don't remember it then.
No, I didn't. But I gave you credit, actually. There's some positivity there.
Okay, this isn't about me, Taylor.
This isn't about you. Yeah, you narcissistic mother.
Freaking N-bombs me on the podcast.
No bombs. Oh, no man. Big bombs like that. We'll save the...
That's an N-bomb.
We'll save the bombs for Brad Lee and his podcast, okay?
Yeah, no kidding.
Dropping bombs. Anyways, how I set the tone for my day is working out. One of the best things to get the blood going, get the mind going, is working out, right? Maybe it's a run for you. Maybe it's a little run or jog in the morning, whatever the morning consists of for you, mm-hmm. whatever that time frame is. But yeah, working out is a big one for me. Music, all that good stuff. So
I mean, because working out pumps out happy hormones.
It does. It's all about the endorphins.
Yeah,
100%.
So that's
serotonin and all that good stuff. And I mean, meditation is a big one too. I mean, it doesn't work for some people. It's a huge practice. It's a lifetime practice, meditation. It's a whole nother realm on its own. But why I say that is because, okay, you get up from bed, you get clothed, you dress yourself, you get ready, and then you start meditating. And for me, I do about 5-10 minutes. 5-10 minutes at least every day.
That's
all you need. But you get into that meditation, you can, mm-hmm. you know, kind of drift off.
Oh, yeah. You can be in la-la for a long time.
Anyway, so there's many, many different avenues. You got to explore that for yourself. So number two, start your day on a positive note. Number three, like you said, Steve, man, practice gratitude, right? And practicing gratitude is shown to reduce stress, improve your self-esteem, and foster resilience even in difficult times. And gratitude's so important. Keep a gratitude journal, like you said, and do it every morning and every evening. Mm-hmm. If you don't like that for whatever reason, if you're becoming resilient on every morning, every evening, at least pick one, but do one.
Yeah.
And I've been doing that for the last, gratitude journal, at least the last month.
Yeah, actually. It's been at least a month or two.
Super powerful, for sure. Month and a half, about a month. Anyways, every morning, every evening, it's got a component in it where it's asks you a few questions, obviously based off gratitude in the morning. And then you revisit it at night and it asks you, you know,
I wonder if we got the same one.
Well, let's share you. I was gifted it. So yeah, I'm going to buy another one. I'd love to buy a couple and just give out to people. Honestly, okay. They're so powerful.
That sounds similar to mine.
I got Michelle on.
Mine's a pretty blank the last little while.
But. Well, yeah, we need to not make it blank. We need to paint that canvas, brother. Michelle's done a couple actually, and she's liked it. She's like, well, can I do one?
Freaking drop.
Yeah. I'm name dropping.
Just name dropping the old lady. That's here, right. Eh?
So I
shouldn't call her old lady. She might not like that.
She's definitely not old lady. No, she's young. She's like a baby. Practice gratitude, get a gratitude journal. I highly encourage it. Number four, surround yourself with more positive, like-minded people. That is a very, very
piggyback
key one.
The last episode. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Surround yourself with more positive people. That's something easy to do. You know, for some, it might not be if you're, you know, obviously introverted, but that goes in hand with just getting out of your own way and adding more value and influence and positive influence in your life. Mm-hmm. It goes a long way. It goes a very, very long way. And that can actually change the complete, your complete direction in life, really.
Well, you start doing that. Yeah. And I think you just want to resist getting sucked into other people's trap.
The vacuum in a of sense, right? Garbage.
There's a difference between venting and then
negativity.
Like venting for a moment. Venting's like a moment. Venting's like you just blah, 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 blah. And then you share how you feel about it. Then your friend can tell you their thought on that. That's venting. You know, that's a little vent. But it's when you get sucked into this vortex of negativity for a long period of time. Now we're not venting anymore. That's something more. So I think like the overall, a long extended conversation on a negative standpoint, I think is the biggest thing to kind of have Teflon on, right? Be resistant to that. You know, walk away from that conversation in a polite way. Don't add negativity. But one of the guys I listened to on the podcast, he said, you know, like somebody just starts going off for way too long. That goes far beyond a venting. He's just kind of like, thanks, but no thanks. Kind of doesn't say that, but he more or less just takes himself away from that conversation and moves on from that because he's like, I don't need that corrupting my mindset. I don't need those demons being put into mind because right now I'm in the state that I want to be in and I don't need to have that kind of crap creeping in on me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you got to stand up.
To piggyback off of
you. Yeah, that's right. You got to stand up. You got to stand up for yourself on that aspect and on that front. So yeah, number five, catch your thoughts. You can't literally catch your thoughts, but catch your thoughts, kind of block them and practice positive self-talk. Right. It's all about how we foster ourselves. Right. So foster yourself. And this is a whole nother concept on its own. And you're very familiar with it. And we learned it actually just this in the last, well, I guess 12 to 18 months, I believe. But it's super powerful. I wish I learned it before. But catch your thoughts and practice positive self-talk. Foster yourself like you would foster your child.
Yeah. Right. That's right. That's a good concept. Yeah.
Very, very important. And
yeah. Like, would you talk to somebody else the way you talk to yourself.
Right.
Yes. You know, your thoughts in your head, would you tell other people that way? If your friend came to you with the same concerns in your mind, would you say the same shit in your mind to your friend?
So a perfect example is you fail, right? You fail at something, you make a mistake, and you're cutting yourself up. You're beating yourself up. You idiot,
dummy, you moron, dummy, you suck.
Yeah. Yeah. All this insecurity. And then your friend goes, man, you got it next time. Man, I believe in you. Just have a little faith, man. You're so close.
Yeah.
You're so close.
You almost got it, brother. You almost got it.
A couple more times, whatever.
Yeah.
And, but no, then you fall back and you default on, what we just talked about, all that negative self-talk. So just positive self-talk. You gotta be almost your own hype man, right? You gotta be your own hype man sometimes. And then that leaves us with the bonus. Identify your areas of negativity. And you could probably start with that to formulate the rest of these points. And there's many other points. I mean, this isn't just all. Identify your areas of negativity. And if you can't,
that's where the challenge comes in. That's the 24-hour challenge.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect, man. Perfect. So if you can't do that, if that's a little challenging for you, that's fine. But even ask a friend, right? So if I ask you, Steve, like, you know, this is what I'm trying to kind of uncover and identify, you know, just kind of where I'm negative. Like it's hard to look at myself that way on a given day, man, or on a given time. Like where do you think I'm negative? Like just be completely honest with me, man. Cause I'm kind of I want to identify that. I want to work on that. I want to be a better person.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And, you know, might list A, B, and C, hopefully not too much, but you know,
Well, and of course, you want to seek out somebody that's also going to express it in a from a place of love, not a place from attack. Right.
Yes.
That's a great point. You don't want to go to a place of you know, battle in a sense.
And then it's defeating the whole purpose.
Yeah.
And then
you want to go to the support system that's going to be honest with you, but not be like, you know, make you feel like a pile of crap. And at the same token, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Be honest, but not be honest. And you know, when you said the whole capture your thoughts thing, that really is meditation. You know, that's where, you know, the whole idea behind meditation, I think I shared it with you once and I think a lot of people think it's this really hard thing to do, but it's really just finding yourself 5 or 10 minutes to close your eyes and be comfortable in a position, take some deep breaths and just think about what's going on in your mind. And the whole gathering your thoughts is just and how you can get more control over the positive ones is I learned that, you know, from the brief meditation part that I learned on a beginner's level is that you want the thoughts, you want to just think about the thoughts going by. The whole phrase that we thought about, think about what you're thinking about. So that's where meditation helps get that practice. So you think about the thoughts going in your mind and you don't want to stop the thought. You just want to acknowledge it and let it pass.
Yes. But let it pass, let it go.
But the idea is to not let that thought, especially a negative one, sit there and accumulate. So you think of it as a cloud. You got this cloud coming in from the north. It comes in and it's like fear. And you acknowledge it and you say, hey, fear, and you just let it go by.
That's right.
Hey, you know? Fear. Yeah, you know, and then comes in uncertainty or whatever. And you're like, oh, okay, uncertainty. Hey, I hear you. I see you. Hey, okay, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Right?
And then goodbye.
Whatever else comes in. And the idea is to not like, no, don't let fear stay there. And then uncertainty stay there. And anxiety stay there. And then all these other negative thoughts, anger, jealousy, resentment, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden it's this giant storm inside your mind because you just didn't let them pass. You acknowledge it. It's like, hello, this is why you're here. Now leave. Oh, this is why you're here. Now leave. This is why you're here. Now leave. And just make sure that you got a nice blue sky and the sunshine's always kind of there. Maybe not always sunshine.
But just the double rainbow. We got to get that double rainbow.
Just no clouds accumulating, essentially, right?
So no, I love that.
That was the easiest breakdown of meditation for me, is just allow yourself 5 to 10 minutes. Acknowledge the thoughts of past, because the more you do it, you'll start. And that's kind of where the 24-hour challenge kind of brings in too. The more you see the thoughts going by, the more you'll see that it's a lot of the same thoughts. So then you know what you need to focus on or where you can change and how you can improve your life in a positive way.
I love that, because all that, what we kind of just listed, I listed with those top five, and what you literally just pointed and emphasized on was, in terms of meditation, is what that's really all about. Also, in more on a scientific and psychological level, that I'm not certified to really explore, because that's not my background. But what I'm getting at is meditating and all this positivity talk, practicing gratitude, all that stuff. What it's really doing on a brain level is it's creating new neurons in your brain, more neurological,
I think,
pathways.
Neural pathways. Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah.
It's super powerful. And then you're kind of training your brain in a way, and you're developing, you know, kind of a new brain.
You want to rewire things. So you want to rewire and fire different things. So if you're running the same circuitry, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah, it's a circuit board pretty well.
You know, the same 100%. Circuits in your mind, the same program, and you never rewire anything. You know, it's like you don't want to run Windows 95 when it's Windows 10. You know what I mean? Like, let's get out of Windows 95.
I like that.
Right? Let's start running Windows 10. Or like, you're still playing, you know, what was that famous game back in the day, like Nintendo? You're still playing Duck Hunt, and now we got the PS5. You know, like, big gap, but you're trying to put in that Duck Hunt disc into a PlayStation. Doesn't work. You got to change, or else you're stuck. And I was going to ask this question, and I think probably everybody would say yes to this question, but do you know somebody in your life or know people in your life that it's almost like every time you see them, whether it's an auntie, an uncle, a friend or whatever, it's like they got the same damn story. Like they say the same thing almost all the time you visit those people or see them. And I know for me, I have a couple people in my life where you're like, it's almost like they have the same problem, let's say, but they've been talking about the same problem for a decade. Right? I think almost everybody knows of somebody or has, and that could be mom, that could be dad, that could be auntie, that could be uncle, that could be your brother, that could be your sister, that could be a cousin, that could be a good friend. But like, you've been friends with them for 5 years, but the same problem is happening. And you're just like, man, that's like a shout out that this person is clearly living in a program that just keeps running itself. That's also a program that doesn't serve them anymore. It's a negative program. Right? So, do you know people like that, or do you have people like that in your life?
I definitely do. I was chuckling in my head.
I know, I can see it. They can't see it, but I was like,
<That's right. laughs> I do. I was chuckling because that's definitely a thing. And I do know some people that, telling themselves the same story and telling you the same story and still upset about that thing that happened 7 months ago or last year or from high school. And it's, I mean, to hold on to that, I mean, it's,
it's exhausting.
It's comical to me, but it is a sad thing. It is a sad reality for them. And that's that whole thing of kind of catching that problem, catching that thought, even though it's not yours, and kind of just saying goodbye to it, right? Acknowledge mm-hmm. it, you know, you listen, and then you got to let it go, because you don't want people's problems to be your problem,
right? Exactly.
I got my own problems, man. You got your own problems. The person listening's got their own problems. You know, our family's got their own problems. Everybody's got their own problems. We don't need more problems. Mm-hmm. So you definitely need to look out for those individuals. You need to love on them. You need to care for them. You need to be there and just listen to them.
Hug them and
but,
peace.
Yeah, but goddamn, I mean, you don't want to embrace that completely.
No.
Like I said, you don't want more problems. So there's so many problems out there and nobody needs more.
Right.
So it's all about letting go, moving on, learning, and being that positive person and being just your best self, man.
Yeah.
Be wiredly inspired.
Wiredly inspired, okay. Baby.
So what else? A couple more tangibles here.
Just because obviously this is something that's very relevant in our world, and it's social media, right? And you know, part of the whole being able to think positive is also just staying out of the negative. You know, like so many people get sucked into a lot of that crap that's on social media, and it's hovered around negative, right? Like, there's so much, and especially we live in a world of the COVID and coronavirus, whatever. And it's just, we can focus on the constant negative that is happening. Or what I love about a lot of people out there though lately is that they're like, let's forget all the negative crap and let's start doing some positive stuff, right? Let's do this thing and post some happy thought, and I'm sick of hearing all the crap. And that's really, and good on all those people, because those people are identifying that their positive thoughts and their positive health is far more superior than being involved continuously in that stuff. Because, you know, from a business standpoint, and this is where it really kind of came from for me, or where I really learned this concept, I guess, because I wasn't really on social media a few years ago, but when it came to the business standpoint, it's like, do you want to be known or be involved in positive, uplifting conversations more? Or do you want to be in the person that's always involved in the negative crap, right? The person that just reposts all the negative stuff, you know, or do you want to be reposting the positive stuff? And again, it's all about the stuff that you're feeding your mind. If you're also feeding your mind constant negative stuff, then what's the chances you're going to be thinking positive as well? So it's just find more ways, you know, in social media to comment positively, be involved in comment or positive comments or articles or whatever it is. I mean, sure, there's a lot of crap out there that we want to fight for and we want to bring awareness to and stuff like that, but we can bring awareness to it, but we don't have to get involved in a lot of negative thoughts. So, you know, there's the more positivity that spread, negativity spreads way faster than positivity. So, you know, it's our mission as well, especially on a platform like, you know, Facebook that has 2.5 billion with a B users, that we do our part to put more positive stuff and just have more positive. I block people personally that are just negative and have nothing good to say and just post negative crap all the time.
You don't got time for that. Life's too short, man.
Yeah.
You got to move on.
And then to piggyback in the social media, it's the same thing with the news, right? Like, there's nothing good that comes from the media and news and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that we don't need to be aware of what's going on around us, but let's not spend our time focused on what's happening on CTV and NBC and this news article, that news article, because the media is bred to only promote things that are happening bad. Like, all my life, I don't think I've ever really watched the news where there's a ton of positive information being shared. It's all, this is going on that's bad, or this is going on that's bad, or watch out for this illness, or don't do this, or don't do that, or this murderer is out there, or this pedo's on the prowl now, or this person is, you know, this person's child got stolen, or this bus ran over. You know, it's just all negative, 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 negative. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be involved or understand what's happening in our communities and our world, but we just don't need to be exposed to it on a daily level, all the time, every day. You'll if something's important enough, somebody's gonna damn well tell you.
You're going to find out.
You're going to find out. Yeah, you'll like find somebody's going to tell you. You're never that left in the dark in the world that we live in nowadays. Back in the day, yeah, you probably needed to read the newspaper in the morning, or because it was your only way to really know what the hell was going on in the world, right? And you maybe had to turn on the 6 o'clock news back in the day just to know what the hell was going on with politics and things like that. But if you want to know anything nowadays, Google. It's on there. It's going to be on Facebook. It's going to be on whatever. So just try to limit your exposure to that. And yeah, I mean, otherwise, just find your, you know, find time to, you know, what are the things that make you happy and just try to do more of those things. You know, when you're caught up in a negative emotion, you know, one of the things we kind of were, you know, we talked about relaxation and meditation, but also like visit your happy place. You know, where's your... I don't mean mentally, just mentally visit your happy place, but maybe you love taking your dog to the dog park and that's where you just can, you feel free. You can let go of those negative emotions. Maybe it's going to see your grandma and grandpa if they're still alive. Maybe it's just being involved or in the room with that one close friend of yours, or maybe it's time with your kid or whatever it might be. But when the negativity or the bad thoughts get overwhelming, find that time to just find that haven, that place where you can just, and a lot of times that haven has to sometimes be by yourself. That, and you know, and I took a lot of, you know, when I started that 75 hard challenge that I never finished, I'll say that. But one thing I did love is that when you woke up in the morning to go for a walk at like 6 o'clock in the morning, you felt like you were the only person in the whole world. And there was something so refreshing about that. Something where you were just like,
that's powerful.
100,000 people in this city that we live in, and you're the only person walking right now that you can see. You go for a 45-minute walk, and you don't see one single person the whole time. You see one biker maybe, or one rollerblader, or whatever it is. But there's just so much power in that you know, getting out and that freedom and just breathing the fresh air and yeah, things like that. So everybody can do something different, but I think... You know, well,
Let's share real quick. I'll share three havens of mine, three happy places of mine that are just off the old cuff here.
Sure, and then we'll
share yours if you
want. Yeah, and I'll share mine, and then okay. We'll.
Do you got one right now? You want to share? You want to provide?
You know, I think.
Wrong. Just kidding. Yeah. Keep going, brother.
Fucking guy. Three of them? You know?
Well, whatever. I got three.
I'll try to come up with three. I don't know if I necessarily have to. I think one.
Just one.
Definitely one place for me. And I find most of my time that I think is a true haven is just time by myself for me to reflect on my thoughts and things like that.
Where are you then? Where are you?
One of mine is honestly just driving.
Okay.
You know, it's a place where you can be, and if you have somebody with you, your kids, whatever it is, that can be your haven too. Just getting out of the house, getting out there, and what I love about the vehicle is that you can kind of just shell yourself off a little bit. And I like to listen to a podcast. I find that just listening to a positive mindset or motivational or podcast. And that's one of the reasons why we even started this podcast, is because we both love our podcasts and we're like, why don't we start one of our own? Why don't we try to bring some value to people and share some great stories? So yeah, I'd go with one of them being my vehicle, cruising around wherever that is. I really enjoy that. That's a haven. A number two for me would be anything outside, honestly. Anything outside, but I would say anything outside that's not riddled with people. Don't get me wrong. I love people. We're in the people business, if you know, as far as the profession that we're pursuing. But I don't want to be around 100 people when I'm out. I like to just find a good place where it's just you and maybe the person that you bring with you, or the small group that you go with, mm-hmm. whether it's maybe a little bit of camping or the hike or anything. Outside is one of the places that I like to go for my haven. And then if I had to pick something when things aren't COVID, Corona, or yeah, coronavirus style,
whatever the word is these days,
whatever the hell it is, I would say the third place would be the gym.
Oh, great, good one. That's my bonus.
Yeah, I would say the third place would be the gym, because it's just, whether you're by yourself or with a friend, you know, you put in your headphones,
and you're just focused
on the task at hand. Yes. You're you're around, you know, well, a few people. You're around some like-minded people, but you're literally, even though there's people around you, you're in your own little bubble. I know you and I go to the gym together and we communicate with each other, but yeah, you know, but it's still like, I don't even notice the people around me really for the most part, no, you know, it's a one except track for maybe mind, that, like that, you know, 10 out of 10 that walks by, you can't help but maybe notice that girl every once in a while. Can't notice that girl every once in a while. But just in general, I don't really notice anybody.
No.
You know, I'm lost in my own little world. And so those are kind of my three, my okay. friend.
Awesome. No, that's great. That's an honorable mention to mine. Real quick, mine are in bed with my fat cat and my beautiful girlfriend, 100%. You know, don't think too much. Definitely no negativity for the most part going on there. Whether we're just zoning out on a movie or show, we're talking about our silly, gorgeous, fat cat. second one
who has his own Instagram page.
Oh, yeah, literally follow him. Badness the Cat, a little quick shout out there. The second one would be the basketball court, which goes hand in hand with the gym. But basketball court, I almost literally think about nothing but getting better, winning, and just all the awesome, positive, empowering emotions that come from basketball. It's my favorite.
Yeah, so, I think in all the games I played with you, I won 0.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and you're probably never gonna win.
Summer challenge. I'm beat Taylor at one game of basketball.
That's right, brother. Even 21, whatever it is. But I'm
yeah. In a game of 21, I lose 21 nothing.
No, that's
five straight times.
Let's not go that far, but. Yeah, I miss that a lot. I'm itching for that. So, and then the third one, which should be the first, but is my family home.
Mm.
My family home. Being by my family, just us six, and just being in the home and with the dogs and on the acreage and living that life, man. It's just so comforting, and that's one of my favorite places on this whole planet. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So that's what I got. That's what I got for you.
Those are great.
Yeah.
It's kind of three different ones, in a sense.
It is, yeah.
So that's tangible for sure for everybody.
Absolutely.
Love that word, tangible.
Tangible. So in closing, everyone, unless you got something else for the people, for the masses.
We should get, people should, if you know, check us out on the old Instagram and Facebooks and stuff like that too, right?
Yes, absolutely. Follow us. Yeah, let's do a quick shout out. So Taylor Pasichnik, super simple. Might not be able to find my last name there. I'm not going to spell it out here. But
well, it's Facebook. In our intro.
It's in our if people podcast are smart, or whatever. And you guys are smart. You guys will find it if you really want to. Yeah. So.
And then mine's my name as well.
Yeah, Instagram.
On Insta.
Facebook, super simple.
Yeah.
Google it, you'll
we'd
find
love
it.
We'd love to meet some people out there and get in touch with you. That'd be super awesome to.
Absolutely. Well, you'll have to connect with us in the future if you want some giveaways and maybe to win a contest when
we'll eventually do some stuff like that as this podcast grows and we'll work on some things and maybe even have a episode or a website just for this podcast and different things like that, but we'll let this thing happen organically cuz it just started on a whim, so.
Totally. And I'm not kidding about that person, that individual in France. If you ever do reach out to us, because I'm sure you'll listen to the fifth episode because you listened to the last four.
That person's a beauty.
Oh, the best. We appreciate you
so much. Not to discredit anybody else, but that's pretty powerful when you have a little over 100 episodes or downloads and 5 episodes out and you have this one person from who we assume is the same individual from France checking us out.
100%.
You know, and we do have a couple other cities and stuff checking us out, and we'll give shout outs every once in a while as we keep monitoring that and checking that out and stuff like that. But, you know, that was just super awesome to see the same city or same suburb or whatever in France there that just keeps checking in. And that's just something super cool. So we wanted to give another shout out that way.
Absolutely. So yeah, no, we appreciate all of you. We're going to continue this. This is so much fun. And just remember, the quality of your state of mind has an impact on the quality of your life, which this whole podcast was about. So really just remember that, cultivate that mindset that you want, which will ultimately formulate and dictate the outcomes and the results that you want in your life. So just, you know, We love you. We appreciate you. And just continue to be the lighthouse. We will see you next time on episode 6.
Absolutely. Bye for now, everybody.